With just over a week left in President Trump's term, House Democrats are pushing a resolution that calls for stripping his power via the 25th Amendment. But Vice President Pence has shown no sign he's planning to invoke that amendment with the cabinet. And if he doesn't, proceedings for a single article of impeachment, which was formally introduced in the House yesterday, are set for tomorrow. NPR congressional correspondent Susan Davis is here with the latest. Hi, Sue.
Hey there.
So what can we expect to unfold in the next 24 hours?
Well, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has called the House back into session, and already there's debate underway in committee on a resolution by Congressman Jamie Raskin. He's a Democrat from Maryland, and he's also a constitutional lawyer. The resolution is non-binding. It's symbolic, but it's essentially expressing the will of the House. And the resolution calls on Vice President Mike Pence and a majority of the cabinet to invoke a provision in the 25th Amendment that would allow them to send a letter to Congress declaring the president unfit for office. And when that happens, the vice president becomes the acting president. Now, there's a process for the president to contest that, but it would go to the Congress and it would basically run out the clock, leaving Mike Pence as acting president until Inauguration Day. Nancy Pelosi and other Democrats have said, and it's in the resolution, that Mike Pence has 24 hours to do that. If he does not, and we have zero indication that he will, in fact, quite the opposite, then the House will move forward with an article of impeachment against the president.
And so in that article of impeachment, they point specifically to the language the president used when he was addressing some of his supporters before the insurrection. He said, in part, "We fight like hell, and if you don't fight like hell, you're not going to have a country anymore." I mean, is that convincing for Republicans, Sue? I mean, how many in the House are expected to side with Democrats on this?
Well, more than they did in the first impeachment and when none of them broke party ranks and went with Democrats. We've seen significantly more criticism of the president, not only for his actions, but for his words and then how he handled the assault after it was underway. We know that some Republicans, Adam Kinzinger is a Republican from Illinois, said he supports invoking the 25th Amendment. You've had other members, Tom Reed of New York, said he didn't necessarily support impeachment, but he would support censure and would also maybe look at legislation that would bar the president from running from office ever again. So there is a significant, especially if you compare it to the past 4 years, pushback against the president within his own party. But I would caution here that the overwhelming signal from Capitol Hill is that there is still significant loyalty to the president. And I think Democrats are prepared for these to still be mostly party line votes.
Sue, you mentioned that Speaker Pelosi called the House back into session. The Senate is not in session right now. Is there any way that it would be called back into session to vote on impeachment?
There's a lot of complicating factors here, one of which is that Democrats just took control of the Senate. But the two senators that will deliver that majority, the two new senators from Georgia, their elections still need to be certified and they need to be sworn in for that Democratic majority to take place. Incoming Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer has said that he's looking at invoking a post-9/11 security measure that would allow the majority leader and the minority leader alone to call the Senate back into session under certain circumstances. Of course, he would need Senator Mitch McConnell, the Republican from Kentucky, to go along with it, and we don't necessarily believe that that's likely to happen. Otherwise, you would need unanimous consent among all senators to come back before Inauguration Day. That's definitely not going to happen. But once an impeachment resolution passes the House, there has to be a Senate trial once they inform the Senate. There's no way around it. So it is a complicating factor for Democrats of how are they going to balance the likelihood of a Senate trial and the first 100 days of the incoming Biden administration, in which they have a very ambitious agenda they want to get started on, and they really need to get Joe Biden and his cabinet nominees confirmed and through the Senate. So there's a lot of moving parts in Washington here, but I think the bigger picture is that Democrats mainly believe that they just cannot let the events that played out last week go without significant punishment. And if a resolution passes, we believe it will pass because Democrats say they already have the vote, it will leave President Trump as the only president in history to ever be impeached twice. And that is a political punishment that many Democrats say is necessary to be paid for what happened.
In the moment that we have left, Sue, I'm mindful that it's not just President Trump that House Democrats are trying to hold accountable. They're also trying to hold accountable some of their own colleagues within Congress. So where do things stand on that effort to hold some other members of Congress accountable for supporting the president's claims of voter fraud?
Well, the biggest impact we've seen right now is in fundraising. Many major American companies, American Express, Marriott, AT&T, have put out statements saying that they will withhold political donations to any lawmaker who voted to object to the Electoral College counts. That could have a potentially really big impact in politics when you think about how important donations are, especially corporate donations to many senior members. There's also talk of potential ethics investigations, potential censure for lawmakers who supported it, and Pat Leahy, the top Democrat on the Judiciary Committee, suggested that he did not believe that Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley, two Republican senators who supported these efforts, should continue to serve on that committee.
All right. NPR congressional correspondent Susan Davis, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.